The Tom Israel's was a quote from the character in the film, actually. And I've chosen a queer theory to approach animal and film studies, which appear to be strictly linked in the movie where I am discussing. And even if queer is always, I mean, normally associated to LGBTI studies, namely Butler's or Sedgwick from the 90s, but the object of queer is much more abstract, and a queer deals with the denaturalization of categories, performances. It questions all kind of identities and their representation, or whatever is considered to be normal or natural in a given society. And my object of study is for this presentation is the last film by an American filmmaker, Wes Anderson, which questions the animal-machine relationship, questioning the animal-machine's relationship means to focus on two categories in opposition to which humankind has defined its identity over time. To sum up the plot, in a dystopic future, in a Japanese ideal city of Megasaki, a plague of dog flu and other similar diseases becomes widespread over the dog population of the city. And this is why, as a measure of defense, the mayor of the city decides to confine all the dogs to the so-called trash island. However, months later, Mayor's nephew, Atari, lands with a small plane on the trash island in order to find his beloved the first dog ever to be deported. And there he will be helped by a group of dogs. And while in the city, scientists try to find a cure and a serum for the diseases. And while robotic dogs are created in order to replace the absent and sick ones. And for this work, I refer mainly to the work of by Arvid Sachs, who, even before Butler and Sedgwick, introduced many concepts of a new methodology, which later became the membership categorization analysis. He claims that societies uses categories in order to classify identities and individuals in order to define what is intelligible and understandable, and therefore, in other words, what is real or not. And an important point of his theory is that there are activities which are assigned to specific categories in order to define that categories, which must be performed by the members of a category in order to belong to it. And he calls them category-bound activities, which I will call, to simplify, CBA from now on. And those who do not perform correctly the CBA are not considered member of a category and becomes member of a boundary category. Moreover, he claims that categories are positioned, means that they're organized into a hierarchy. That is, not only we have, there must be a non-member in order to define a member, but also there are certain members who owns the reality in some way, and who owns the rules of the game, and decide who is a member or not, and how. So this is how humankind always assuming a position, a privileged position, in order to define its identity as related to something, namely animals and machines, and things that could be considered not human according to a non-performance of the CBA. And in fact, from Aristotle onwards, animals were not considered as rational identities, while from the industrial revolution on, machines were not considered to be considered human according to the inability to prove emotions. And in this presentation, I asked myself, how do animals and machines, however, relate to each other since they are boundary categories? And are they really always different or opposite from each other and from a human category? In Isle of Dogs, this radical distinction become a problem since technical and narrative solutions are proposed. They can be considered queer solutions since they are since they question identity boundaries and widen identity possibilities. So in this presentation, sorry for my voice, I will focus before on a brief presentation of a stop motion technique. Then I will reflect on how in the film machines are used to protect or harm the dogs and what are the possible ambiguities that emerge from the film. And to close, I will focus on how dogs relate to an identity assigned to them by humans. So, stop motion technique might be considered a way to create a link between these otherwise separate categories. But what isn't really in the hand of the people is the possibility of creating animal-like characters through the use of machines by applying any aspect which defines a subject like a subject of a human-like society. And in fact, so during the, as we see from the videos of the making of, they used video recordings to suggest facial expressions or puppets that were moved in order to perform some kind of actions, and then computer graphic in order to combine all these elements. So in the end, what we have is that there are characters, animal characters with their own CBA, but which perform also the human-like set of CBA. And among, to create a link of between what me and what Emilia was saying, among all the CBA which belong to human user and belong to humankind, a particular and determinant choice has been made. In fact, from Aristotle onwards, animals were not considered the thing that distinguished humans from animals was the use of language. But what happened in the movie is that only the dog actually can speak English, and while the majority of all the characters can speak Japanese. So therefore, what happens is that the spectators are literally forced to assume this perspective of the dogs and accept the existence of an animal sensibility and rationality. And therefore, in a queer perspective, what happens is that the otherwise misunderstood animal individuals become suddenly intelligible, understandable, and therefore real. Isle of Dogs also suggests a reflection on how machines and technology can be used by human in their relationship with animals. Not only are two opposite approaches proposed, but also ambiguous and queer possibilities are offered to the extent that this question, machines are evil or good for animals, becomes not so easy to answer. And in fact, we have, as we see from the first picture, machinery used in order to find serum, a cure for the diseases, or we see also surgeons using surgery machines in order to operate. I didn't include it, but there is also a dog operating humans and animals. And there is an image of it, but there is also the character of an hacker who, in the end, saved the situation. So he uses his technological knowledge in order to save the animals. But we also see the effects of the asymmetrical human-animal relationship, which is a more subject-to-object relationship rather than subject-to-subject relationship. In fact, the socially constructed superiority of humans, thanks to the ancient idea of scala naturae, justifies, as we see in the movie, but not only, brutal scientific experimentation and the use of, as we see in the first picture, and the use of the machines to attack or harm even the dogs. So by proposing these two different human behavior opposite, Isle of Dogs describes precisely what happens in non-fiction realities, because a member can become dangerous to a non-member and even harm or even kill a non-member, which is in this case an animal. And then we have the cases of the ambiguous cases, the animal-machine hybrids. In fact, as we see in the first picture, this is the character of Chief, which becomes in the movie the next dog, Atari's dog. They have the same spot, and Chief have the same item, which is mechanical teeth that can be used in case of danger as explosives. And then we have always the character of Spot uses a headphone in order to keep in touch with the owner. And in the end, we see that he has a mechanical eye, yeah, like a Terminator. we come back to the original question, where and how do we place the boundary between animals and machines and between the boundary categories and humans? So now let's think about a little bit of how we usually call domesticated animals. We call them pets. And so how should it be? What are its CBA? What we see in the film is that some of the CBA are taken into consideration. A pet, as we see in the movie, should be friendly, obedient, and healthy. And the film shows also the reaction of the owners in front of a situation where actually the third CBA is lacking. And since pets are not performing correctly the pet CBA, they are not considered pets anymore, and then rubbish objects, trash, and this is why they deport them to the trash aisle. At this point, I would like also to mention the concept of stigma by Irving Goffman. He claims that the stigma comes out from a disconformity between what is the virtual social identity, which is the identity we give to someone, you know, from what we know, and we assigned to what we assigned to them, and the actual social identity, the one verified in practice. The point is that since humans consider animals just as objects, they expect that from them pet performances to be more like a virtual one, a mechanical one, where all the parts of the engines are working perfectly. Therefore, if there is an abnormal performance and therefore an abnormal functioning of all the parts, as it happens in the movie, they should be replaced with another one. And this is why they call them, they call the robotic dogs replacement pets. And however, in the end, another spoiler, not only do the case of hybrids disturb the border between what can be considered a machine or a dog, but also another final curious solution is offered. The actual possibility for the robots to fall sick. And this is why we see in the end a robotic dog sick on the top of the hill, as we see at the beginning, a shot of a real dog that is sick. So if a machine performs so perfectly the dog's CBA that it can even fall sick, who is performing correctly the pet CBA now? So among my conclusions, I might say that animals that the film shows that animals' capacity to have their own conception and construction of reality is a matter of fact, which usually humans do not ever take into account. And it reflects also what happens in a non-fictional world. How many pets are abandoned and eventually change with another one, or even put down by their owner simply for the fact that they are sick, ugly, or in other words, because they do not respect and perform all the CBA. And finally, I must say that I Love Dogs invites us to reflect on the oppressive nature of imposing identity borders and about the violent, harmful consequences of using binary opposition, of imposing categorization, and of pretending specific performances from living beings which are likely to have their own identity and way to see the world. And I would like to say goodbye with a quote, another quote from the film, which sums up my point. It's by another dog in the movie, the Nutmeg. I was bred as a show dog. I was groomed for that purpose. It wasn't my choice, and I don't consider that my identity. Anyway, look around. What difference does it make now?